Hey everyone, this is Josh from Solopreneur Grind, and I am here with Connor Boyland. Connor, really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Hey Josh, thanks for having me.
So Connor, really excited because I am a part of actually two of your Facebook groups. Love the content that you put out, but for the listeners who may not know who you are or what you're working on, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So been on the Solopreneur Grind for a while now.
Right.
But my main specialty is email marketing, copywriting, and sales. And so, right now, thanks for being in my groups, by the way. I really appreciate it. Good to connect with you.
Yeah, we'll definitely plug those at the end, because if people do want to learn about all of those topics, then they're highly recommended. But yeah, so a little more about what you do, and let's get into kind of how you got there. I'm really interested in the backstory.
Okay, sure. Well, I mean, right now I'm basically a marketing consultant, but definitely did not start there. Didn't go to school for marketing. I actually went to school for mechanical engineering.
Oh, wow.
So I have a ME degree, and out of college, I worked for this company in LA called SpaceX. They build rockets.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yeah. Around that time, I just started getting real dissatisfied. I bet a lot of you and probably a lot of your listeners can relate to being really dissatisfied working a job or working for a company or having the 9-to-5 employee lifestyle and just wondering if there's more to life than that, or, you know, if I'm not cut out for this. And I realized, like, I'm pretty much working at the best company you could ever hope to work at if you want to be an engineer. Like, they build rockets and send them into space privately.
Right.
It's freaking awesome. It's run by Elon Musk, who's like a freaking entrepreneurial legend.
Right.
And so I'm working at this place full of rock star engineers, and I just realized, like, I hate this. This is not for me. And if I've come this far as an engineer, I probably should reconsider that maybe I shouldn't be an engineer. Like, I got to learn something new. So around that time, I was really into personal development and dating advice. And I actually had a recent breakup with this girl that I was with, and wound up kind of diving into the world of dating advice. Met a lot of guys. I lived in Los Angeles at the time, and I was just a very social person. So I met all these guys who were running companies where they basically just took guys to bars and helped them get better with girls or helped them become more confident. And I never knew you could do that. I never knew that that existed. They were solopreneurs. They had figured out a way to make money by doing something that they loved, that they were good at, and that was very valuable to a lot of guys. And I was ready to quit my job, and I became friends with these guys, and they knew I wanted to quit. And so as their company started taking off, they hired me. They asked me to come join them. They just said, hey, I know you're a fancy engineer and all that, but would you like to come be a coach for us? I think you're a pretty confident person. Our company's growing. We could use you. And I was like, hell yeah, sign me up.
Wow, that's a big change. What was going on in your head at that point, or what was like the art? Was there an argument, or was it just a clear, obvious decision?
You know, it was a clear, obvious decision. I didn't know that it was going to be, I was going to become a dating coach. Like, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't set out with that in mind. I just was really open to any opportunity that came along that could take me in a different direction than full-time employee, W-2, work for this company, you know?
Right.
I'm really dissatisfied with that life. I was open to other people that were having, you know, doing something very different to make money and live. And just when that invite came along, I was just in the right space at my life to be like, hell yeah, let's do it. I want that. And you know, I was 27 at the time too. So it was like,
right.
These guys were like, hey, we can't pay you nearly as much as you make now, but you can travel around the world with us and get paid to go to bars and meet girls. Does that sound like something you'd be interested in? And I was like, yeah, if you could pay me enough to live, I'm down. Let's do it.
Right.
So I did that for a couple of years, and, had a lot of adventures, got to travel a lot, which you don't get to do usually if you're a W-2 employee. You know, you got to put in for vacation time and plan your trips. And, you know, you got a life that's tied to going to the office. And so I finally had this new lifestyle where I didn't have an office and I could make money doing something totally different. And that just opened my eyes to a new way of viewing the world, really. Eventually I it was a fun job. I got to do it for a couple of years. I got pretty good at coaching, which is also just the same thing that made me good at talking to girls or making friends or coaching people also makes me really good at selling and marketing. It's all really the same skill.
Mm-hmm.
It's just understanding people and their desires. And I just wasn't making that much money as a coach, and the business was kind of falling apart. And I realized, hey, everyone in this line of work that actually makes real money is a copywriter, or they run the business, they do sales. So I started learning copywriting, and I had a big network built up at that time within the dating industry because I'd been in it for a few years. I met a lot of people. It's a cool industry. I don't know like what it's been like for you working for yourself, but people like us that are solopreneurs or small business owners in the different niches that exist, a lot of people collaborate and work together. Where coming from a corporate environment, I was used to other companies being competition, or, you know, different companies trying to compete with each other for a share of the market or stuff like that. But in this world, everyone, specifically in the dating world, everyone knows each other and they all work together. They all promote each other's products. They all share knowledge. It's very collaborative. They all want to succeed together. They don't compete with each other. Just kind of a cool way of seeing things. And so I had all these friends in the dating niche. When I quit being a coach, a lot of them hired me to do their copywriting and help them, you know. So I learned the main method of marketing in that field is email marketing. And so they would build email lists. I would write the copy. I would run the list. I would do the marketing, and I would help them write their sales letters, their video sales letters, VSLs. And I just learned hands-on how to do what's called direct response marketing,
right,
which is basically writing an email newsletter every day or writing a sales letter or a sales video that would sell someone into a training program or coaching experience or whatever else that we offered.
Right. And can you talk a little bit about, so as someone who's also really interested in copywriting, how did you go about learning it? It sounds like you probably had a lot of the fundamentals maybe kind of learned from experience, as you mentioned, by then through, you know, the dating and building relationships. Like you said, a lot of the principles are the same. But when you decided, I want to get into copywriting, what were the first resources or tools or things that you did to get good at it?
Well, hands down, the best way to get good at it, and the first thing I did, because I needed money, was to just go to people and see if they'd hire me and get a job doing it. And I just said, hey, I'm writing copy now. Do you need anyone? And it's a very in-demand skill. People in these industries always need copywriters. So for anyone listening, you probably know this, Josh, but for anyone that's listening to this, if you want to know, like, how do you break in? What's a skill that's valuable? Like, people always hire. If you say you're a copywriter, you get attention. People are like, tell me more. And so I got some people that already knew me in my network to be like, hey, you know, I know you're not proven, but I know you and I need copy. So let's go. Here you go. Start writing my emails. So that's just, actually what I didn't study anything to begin. I didn't like get a program or a training course. I just found people that would pay me to do it and started doing it. And that'll teach you faster than any kind of training. When you're on the line to like make someone else money and get paid, you have to.
Right. And then you kind of learn as you go is what it sounds like. And as you said, there's so many opportunities because there's just so much content being created every single day that I can definitely relate to that point.
Yeah. So
how did those first few months go, or how did those first few clients go? I'm really curious.
Yeah. So, once I got some people to hire me, and usually the deal where I would run their email list. I'd kind of done this, when I was a coach. I worked with this big company. They were called Badass Ventures. They sold this product called Dow Badass. So I'd actually written some emails before just because they needed it done and I could write. So I kind of knew how to use, you know, GetResponse and AWeber. I knew how to use the software. I knew the basic concept was, hey, send out a marketing email and get their attention and sell them something. I just didn't know the technique to do it. So I the first couple months were me just saying, I'm going to run your list. I'm going to do this stuff. And I went and got on everyone else's list in the niche and just saw what they were doing and modeled it.
Right.
So
that's interesting to hear that, because my last guest that I had on, we were talking about, he actually grew up as a magician and doing mind tricks. And basically he just, the first two big jobs he had was he found a mentor who was really successful and followed them around and learned exactly what they did. And then, you know, adapted them a little bit to his flavor. But you don't have to rewrite the script, right? Like you said, there's people out there who have done it a lot longer and studied a lot longer than us.
Oh yeah. And if you don't know what you're doing, like the last thing you want to do is just try and come up with something out of your head. You know, it's a skill you got to learn.
For sure.
I made sure to get on every newsletter in the dating niche that people said was good, because I knew these companies and these people. So I knew the people that were making money versus the people that were kind of amateurs. And I got on all the best lists and like, all right, let me see what this guy's doing. What's this guy doing? You know, they've all got their own style or their own technique or their own method, but I just wanted to learn how. Mm-hmm. And once I made a little bit of money, I invested that money. And actually one of my clients turned out to be very cool and invested his money to help me. So I've taken a lot of copywriting training now. John Carlton is like a very famous old school direct response copywriter. I've got a lot of his books, his program. Dan Kennedy, amazing. And there's a whole handful, you know, like there's a lot of direct response copywriting people out there that can teach you the techniques, but it's really hard to just learn techniques if you're not applying them and getting a result. And what's most important with copywriting is, did people click the link that you're trying to pitch and did they buy? You know, like that, there's a direct result to what you're doing and you can see if it's working or not. And that's really important to learning, is trying things and seeing what's working and what's not. So I did read some books and learn, but actually the most I've learned was just working with my clients and seeing what's working, you know, like, hey, these emails are doing great. Let's write more like that. Or when it came time to write longer sales pieces, like a sales letter, a sales video, a funnel, like in that industry, a VSL is a pretty big deal. If you get a converting VSL, you can make millions of dollars. So it's like a scripted 45-minute video that's pitching something. And so I started writing VSLs for people. And
how many pages is 45 minutes worth of text?
I don't know. I tend to space my words big because my laptop is small, so I got to read it. So it's like 15, 16 point font, but like that.
Right.
I don't know. It's probably like a 70 or 80 page document. I break it down into sections to keep track.
Right.
But there's a formula for it. You know, there's a technique to it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I started doing all these big deal VSL writing, and one of my clients actually just, one of the fastest ways to get ahead, whoever's listening, if you can, is to just pay an expert to help you. Just go directly to the source. Don't buy their book and read it or program. Like, see if you can get someone on the phone to tell you what to do. It's going to cost you. And so one of my clients was able to get me on the phone with this guy, Chris Haddad, who's like a very famous copywriter, very successful in the niche, you know, A-level copywriter. Mm-hmm. And actually we did a couple different sessions with Chris. It's like $1,000 for an hour, and my client paid for it. And we would take the draft that we had worked out and sort of let him read over it and rip it to shreds and just tell me all the ways that it sucked and wasn't good enough, which is super valuable. And a couple rounds of that. And not only did we have a really polished, good VSL and a good offer, but just an hour on the phone with that guy taught me so much more than I could have learned from, you know, years worth of reading, you know?
Right. Could you give us two or three tips that, if we were to pay Connor Boylan $1,000 for a phone call, like, could you give us two or three tips from that phone call maybe?
Sure. Well, what do you need tips on, like how to write a sales letter or how to write emails?
Maybe just kind of copywriting in general, because the listener base is pretty broad in terms of a lot of entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, and copywriting is so important, but maybe just kind of general copywriting, because some people may not have an email list. They may not be doing video, stuff like that.
Sure. So yeah, I guess for everyone listening, the kind of copywriting I'm talking about, it's not very corporate. It's not like branded ad agency stuff. It's called direct response copywriting. And that means we're writing with the intention of getting the reader, or if it's a video script, you know, the listener, our intention is to get them to take some sort of action that we can measure. So if it's an opt-in, we're asking them for their email address, and we can measure how many people took that action. If it's an advertisement, we can measure how many people clicked it. If it's a sales letter, we can measure how many people clicked the buy button, how many people filled out their info on the order form, and how many people paid us. So it's all measurable. Right. There's a science and a formula to what's going to work. So a couple tips for that. One, just whatever business you're in, don't just start writing. Go figure out what's already working and sort of reverse engineer it. It's definitely going to be faster for you than trying to learn from scratch and take a course or something. You know, if you're like, what's an example of a business that some of your listeners would be in, or your business?
Maybe like, I mean, I know what's popular now is, you know, these days is like a digital marketing agency.
Yeah, very, very true. So let's say you wanted to do some copywriting and get some clients for your agency. Well, the first thing would be, what are other agencies doing? How are they getting clients? What sort of angles are they using? It's not really, some people talk about copywriting a lot. It's not really about the writing so much as it is who you're talking to and what are they going to listen to. So you actually, if you understand who you're targeting, like most people start out, they don't have a clear idea of who they're targeting, who they're talking to, because it's all digital. It's online. So we're not face to face with people. It's hard to figure out who to target. So the first, for any piece of writing or marketing you do, you have to start with, who am I talking to specifically? So digital agency, that's not really good enough. Like digital agency for what type of business or what type of person, you know? There's agencies out there that service coaches. There's agencies that service e-commerce brands, like selling stuff on Shopify. There's agencies that help dentists or chiropractors. Like, first get clear on who you're targeting, because they all listen to different things. And if your message is really bland and untargeted, it won't catch any attention from anyone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a great point.
So first, know who you're targeting. So let's say we were going to drill down one level deeper, digital agency for dentists. I'm going to help you get more customers to your dental practice. I'll do your marketing for you, that kind of service. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is to decide, all right, I'm going after dentists. And we can drill down on that audience a lot too and figure out like dentist in what area and making what kind of income. There's a lot of data sources out there that can tell you info on dentists in California, in these cities that make X amount of sales per year that have this many employees, you know. But just saying, hey, I'm going to help dentists get more patients. The next thing would be to figure out, before you start writing anything, you know, what is the number one most desirable result that you could get for that person? So if it's a dentist, like what's the most desirable result that they want? So usually people start out, and if you're just copying other people, a lot of people end up writing like the 7 deadliest sins that dentists should never do, which isn't really that desirable. It's just been ripped off so many times. But more like, you know, what's the thing they want? Because if you understand clearly what they want and you can say it to them specifically, maybe even more specifically than they can articulate themselves, then you'll get their attention and they'll go and read whatever else you have to say. And if you don't get their attention, nothing else you write matters. So let's say the most desirable thing you can get for dentist is like, hey, let me tell you how to get, 100 new patients in the next 90 days, or increase your business. Let me tell you, I think one of my friends just got this thing called Invisalign. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I've seen some ads for it.
Yeah, so it's like a new technology in the dental field, and probably worth a lot of money for people that are selling it. You know, it's a brand. Mm-hmm. So you could be like, hey, let me teach you how to get new Invisalign patients. You know, 5 ways to get new Invisalign patients with without wasting your money on ads or something. Just, they want patients. They want to make money. They want to grow their business. So if you can show them a way to do that, they'll listen. And from there, all the copy should just be based around getting them that result, you know? And if you can convince them that your agency can get them that result, then you're in. Because they don't really care that you have an agency. That's a good thing to know about copywriting. It's not really about you at all. They don't care who you are. You don't need to be a guru or an expert. You don't need to have that many credentials. You just need them to see that you're the pathway to getting what they want. Does that make sense?
Yeah, those are great points. Yeah. And Connor, I'm really interested to find out what happened next. So you're learning all this stuff. You have this awesome client who's kind of like sponsoring you almost in your education of copywriting. What was the next step from there?
Well, so the next step, I did client work for a couple of years, and then I just realized, well, this is still just like having a job, you know? Mm-hmm. I went from having an employee job to being self-employed, but still just having a job working for other people. And I just, and the money wasn't really increasing. It wasn't scaling up. It was just having a job and an income, learning, mm-hmm. learn how to do a new skill. And I got dissatisfied with that. And also just dissatisfied with the dating niche in general. I just didn't care about it anymore. It wasn't important to me. You know, I got sick of writing the same stuff over and over again. You know, it just wasn't going anywhere for me. And so I realized I've done being employed. I've done being self-employed. Now let's try being a business owner, because that's where all the people I work for are doing.
Right.
And so I started my own list. I made my own products in the dating niche, which was easy for me because I've been doing it for so long. And I got all my friends and to become affiliates and mail for me. And grew my own email list, which is still paying my bills now, you know.
Right.
Automated most of it. Learned how to do YouTube. Just thought that'd be fun. So I've got basically built this little machine with all of the data. You know, by the time I was done working for all these clients, I had swipe files with like hundreds of emails in them that had made money.
Mm-hmm.
They made money for my clients, and I only got, you know, 15 to 20% of that. I was making a commission from them.
Right.
So I thought, well, I've got all this material now. I know how to do all of it. I'll make my own. I wrote my own VSLs. I wrote my own sales pages and funnels. I made a YouTube channel, and then I got all my former employers and friends to become my affiliates and mail for it. And built a big list and sort of automated most of it, so I didn't have to touch it. And it's just, you get on my list, you go through my autoresponder, a certain percentage of people buy the product. I make money, I pay my affiliates. It's like 90% automated for me.
Right.
And I built that and then was like, all right, cool. Now, what do I want to do? I really like this marketing stuff. I'm getting pretty good at it. Why don't I start building an audience around that and reposition myself as a marketing consultant where I could go into any business and help them with their marketing? So that's what I do now, and it's really fun. You know, like I do sell products like training courses, but like I said, the fastest way for someone who really wants results, the fastest way is just to pay someone like me or someone like Chris Haddad or someone, anyone that I mentioned, to just pay someone who knows what they're doing to get on the phone and show you for your particular business, this is what you should do, you know? So I've just sort of repositioned myself as a consultant where anyone that's growing a business that has some momentum can become my client, and I'll help them with their marketing strategy. Sometimes I write the copy for them. Sometimes I'll just design a promotion for them. You know, just whatever is appropriate for their business to make more revenue, get them more customers.
Right.
And I really enjoy doing that now and just building out an audience of people in the marketing field, which is really fun for me.
Right. Yeah, that's great. It sounds like a really cool transition that you took over the life of your career, not just this last point, but your career just kind of makes sense, if that makes sense to you. You know what I mean? The way you transition from piece to piece. Was there a marketing consultant that you called when you decided to become a marketing consultant? I know that's a little meta, but it fits your theme.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm most grateful for is that throughout this whole journey I just described to you, you know, I've made a lot of valuable friends and contacts. And for anyone that's listening too, this is just a good piece of advice that I should have taken sooner. It took me a while to figure out, but If you just call people that know you and ask for help, they'll help you usually.
Right.
And so I actually know a lot of business owners and a lot of cool people in my niche. One of the reasons I live in Austin, Texas now, I've moved around a lot over the whole story I just told you. I was moving around a lot, but I settled for a while in Austin, Texas, because a lot of people I know in these fields seem to live here. Mm-hmm. And so I just called, for example, one of my friends from the dating niche. His name's Adam Lyons. He's a big deal in the dating field, but also very smart marketer and business guy. He lives in Austin. And so I hang out with him on a semi-regular basis. And, you know, we're kind of nerds. We play like magic cards and do like dorky stuff, but also talk a lot about business and marketing. He gives me advice. He's really good at like selling high-end services and consulting and coaching. So I've learned a lot just from hanging out with him. A couple of my copywriting mentors that I used to work with. Like, it's nice to know that I could call someone when I wanted to make this shift into consulting and be like, hey, I'm going into consulting. Here's what I'm thinking. Could you help me brainstorm some ideas? What should I do? To answer your question, there are a few people that I know that I've been able to just talk to and get some guidance from on how to make that shift.
It sounds like that business advice that we all hear, which is, you know, surround yourself with, you know, or you are your network, or, you know, there's all these cliches, you know, the Jim Rome quote, you are the average of the five closest people around you, stuff like that. It's so important in business.
Yeah, it really is. And, I don't know, coming from a corporate background, I used to just despise networking, you know, where like people hand out their business cards and follow up with you. Like, I thought that was so dorky and ineffective. But the real way of networking is just having, like, being cool to people and having friends and maintaining your relationship with them. And not just because you need something from them, because you genuinely want to connect with them. And I've been able to do that. And especially in times where I'm trying to shift my career or when I'm struggling. I know you said that my whole career makes a lot of sense, but I did skip over a lot of parts where I struggled and fucked up.
Right. I mean, it wouldn't be an entrepreneurial journey without some major screw ups and
there's been a lot of dark periods and failures and like depressing points where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is fucking messed up. And during those times, it's really valuable to know that I can call someone and they'll stop what they're doing and just help me and give me advice because they're my friend.
For sure. And going back to what you said earlier in the episode on the networking piece, which is when you're a solopreneur or even just an entrepreneur in general, the networking I've found too is kind of different. Like you're not talking, like I have a network of close friends here. I live in Toronto up in Canada, and some entrepreneurial friends around my age, kind of like-minded people. And some of our businesses overlap, but we don't treat each other like competitors. It's more like we're all in this grind together. And it just feels more connected and more genuine from my experience. So I really connected with that part and the networking part you were talking about.
Yeah. What's it been like for you?
For me, honestly, it's been great. What happened was the first 6 or so months, I would say, was very lonely because most of my friends and family, like they all, you know, they live the corporate life. And that's especially when you're early on in your career, that's what you're expected to do. So when I took a different path, you know, I have a great support system. So not to say that I didn't have the support I needed, but you know, there, you can always kind of tell when people are thinking like, oh, you know, what are you doing? Is this really what you should be doing? You should be taking the regular route, whatever. And I ended up going to a lot of networking events and meeting people who were like me in their late 20s, doing something non-traditional. And eventually what I ended up doing was starting a mastermind with about 6 or 7 guys, because I kept meeting these guys who were in the same boat. And it's tough, you know, especially early on when you're not making a ton of money, you're doubting yourself, did I make the right decision? And just having that support system and like-minded people that can talk about the struggles and the ups too, but you know, a lot of downs and helping each other through. Do you have any experience like that with, have you ever been in a mastermind or anything a little more formal like that?
You know, I haven't been in a formal mastermind where, you know, you like pay for membership and show up with like a structure, but
yeah, we don't have payment. We don't have payment, but it is it's a set group of guys. We meet every second Thursday night. Okay. So it's like semi-formal. There's no payment. You know, we have a WhatsApp group and, you know, we're keeping in touch and stuff, but,
yeah, that's so valuable. I guess I don't have a formal group that has a structure, but just a wide circle of friends that I communicate with and share and support.
Right.
It's definitely very important. And for maybe sure. I should try that, you know, maybe I'll get into a more structured type of mastermind, you know?
I highly recommend it. Yeah. Even if it's, I mean, sometimes we have to cancel cause you know, everyone's an entrepreneur, they're kind of busy, but we usually meet at least once a month, sometimes twice. And it's nice to kind of get out of the house sometimes too, and just sit in a circle with people that are going through the same struggles that you are. And you get really good insight because they're not living what you're going through all day, every day. So they can kind of give you that, you know, insight from an outsider's perspective. But I highly recommend it.
Yeah, man, I'd say it's more than just nice to have. I'd say it should be a priority for everyone listening to this. You got to have a support system. Because the solopreneur path, you know, whether you're solo or like a lot of clients I work with or have a small team, you know, but it's a different path than most of the rest of the world even understands. And especially if you, you know, you need to be around other people who get it.
For sure.
Because most people don't. My family doesn't understand why I do this. They think I'm the black sheep of the family because I quit a successful corporate job to go do this, you know, like they don't,
right.
They support me. They love me, but they don't get it because they don't live this every day. You got to be around people who get it. And especially working online, you can easily fall into the trap of being alone for too long with your own problems and your own thoughts. And it's really nice and really valuable to be able to get out of your own stuff for a while and show up for someone else. It's really helpful.
For sure. For sure. This has been awesome, Connor. I want to spend just a little bit of time on kind of some practical advice for solopreneurs or entrepreneurs out there who may have no marketing experience or email list experience, copywriting experience. What are some of the major, maybe like two or three big mistakes or things that a lot of your clients kind of miss out on, or you find yourself having to correct a lot of the time?
Sure. Well, it depends, I guess, what level they're at. Are we talking about total beginners or people that already have some momentum and some success?
I'd probably say beginner to like mid-range.
Okay. So I'd say the biggest beginner mistake is spending too much time on things that don't produce money. If you're trying to get any kind of business venture going, the most important thing is to be making money. Mm-hmm. And everyone knows that, but then if you don't have that on the top of your mind every day, you can fall into this trap where you're on social media or you're doing a lot of stuff that isn't directly tied to you making an income. And it's hard to, you know, going from zero to one, like beginner to something, is the hardest step. Just there's so many ways that you can screw up. There's so many pitfalls. And once you get a consistent amount of income, everything gets a little bit easier because you can breathe. You don't have to freak out if things don't go the way you want. You know, you have a little bit of a base to stand on and some confidence, and obviously just you can pay your bills and not freak out about it. And so the biggest beginner mistake is just either not focusing hard enough on what makes money or not knowing what makes money. You know,
right.
I think I went into business way too soon. I'm the kind of person, probably a lot of us listening to this are the same, you know, the type of person that just jumps first and asks questions later.
Yeah.
And so I jumped in before I was even ready. I didn't know how I was going to make money. And so I had to figure a lot of shit out really quickly and urgently. And that's not really, if you can avoid that, if at all possible, I'd say avoid it. It's not healthy. It's very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to live every day with in constant fear that you don't have enough money and you don't know how to make it. Like that's tough.
Right.
You know, don't quit your job until you have something going.
Yeah.
But so that's the biggest beginner mistake, you know, just figure out whatever business model you have, figure out how that makes money, find something that works, and just keep doing what works until you've got some momentum. And then you can start to branch out. And, you know, so many people are like worried about how they're going to scale their business before they even have one, you know?
Right.
They're just trying to do all this stuff aside, like just master the fundamentals. How do I get customers? Here are the things that make money in any business. You got to get new customers. So whatever you're doing to find and acquire customers, get good at that. You have to sell something to those customers. So whatever you can do to get good at selling, that's what copywriting is. It's trying to sell something in print. But you don't have to be a copywriter to do that. A lot of my consulting now, I sell over the phone. I just get the right prospects on the phone. I figure out how I can help them, and then I make them an offer. Like, it doesn't have to be copywritten.
Right.
And you need to know, like, what you're offering, you know? Just get new customers, sell them stuff, repeat, keep going. You got to get good at those fundamental things. So whatever your model, if you're an affiliate marketer, if you make products, if you do consulting, if you do coaching, if you sell t-shirts, I did that for a while.
Right.
Figure out the model and how it makes sales and just focus on that every day, even if it's tedious, even if it's boring. Just make that the only thing that matters. Don't even worry about getting a website or a domain if you don't have to. Maybe you have to, but a lot of people just do extra stuff that isn't directly tied to their income, and they struggle because they're not making any money yet.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense, especially with all, like you said, there's so many flashy things you can try, social media accounts, websites, makes a ton of sense. Connor, just one or two more questions here, and I'm selfishly going to ask about email lists because I love them. You specialize in email marketing, and just from the Facebook group, I know that you've got a ton of experience and insight. Can you give a few tips on how to, let's say someone's at the beginning, they're building, you know, their business, let's say service business, to make it a little more specific. What are some top tips you have to starting and growing an email list?
Yeah. So, email is just one of the most fundamental, solid ways to sell online. And the goal there is just to build a list of interested prospects, keep in touch with them, offer them value, and form a relationship with them, and repeatedly keep offering your service. So let's say your service is you design websites for people. The business model is build a list of people who need their websites done or that have a need for your service, and keep continually send them emails to make them an offer. So there's three things that you need to do that. One, you need an opt-in offer, something to offer them in exchange so that they will give you their email address. So let's say if you're a website designer and you want to build a list of people that need your services, you might design an opt-in offer. What would be something valuable to someone that needs a website? Like maybe like 5 places to get your website done for free, or 5 ways to improve website conversions in 10 minutes, or something that would be valuable and desirable to that person or that business. So you need that, an opt-in, which would just be a landing page that makes them that offer and then says, put your email in here. That's it. It's a very simple page. It's called a squeeze page. There's only one thing to do on the page: enter your email or leave.
Right.
And then obviously on the next page, you deliver whatever it is that you promised them, and maybe even make them an offer for your services. That's a funnel. But basically, you need that, which is a way to get their email. You need traffic, which is where you're going to find these people in the first place and send them to your opt-in page. There's a lot of ways to do that. You can buy ads. You can go on social media. With email, there's services called list brokers that are just people that keep databases of different email lists, and they'll rent them to you for a price, and they're targeted to different niches. There's a lot of ways to get traffic, to drive traffic to that page. And then you need a follow-up sequence. So there are services for email marketers. They're called autoresponders or email service providers. So for anyone listening, like, you're not going to be sending one-off emails from your Gmail account. There's a software that will send bulk email for you in a broadcast form. So AWeber is a big one. GetResponse. I use ConvertKit. I really like them. Infusionsoft is a little more complicated. It's like a whole CRM. But there's software, like web apps, that will do this. and you just sign up for like a monthly fee and you write broadcast emails. It'll collect the email. You can automate the follow-up. You could send broadcasts. It just allows you to do this. And after someone gives their email, they're going to get a repeated series of emails from you that's going to form a relationship with them, tell them about your service, how you can help them, and make them an offer for it. So, you know, if you're selling website design services, you're basically going to be educating them about all the things that can go wrong with their website, what makes a good website, why they need your service, and how you're going to provide it for them, all the benefits. And every one of those emails is going to say, hey, if you want me to do this for you, click here and we'll set up a time to talk or something like that. You know,
right.
It just continues to make them an offer, and it's important. So it's basically a really effective follow-up mechanism to sell something, where most mm-hmm. people, they imagine selling something online and they think, oh, send traffic to a page and some people will buy. But the truth is, in all of marketing, most people that buy things don't buy the first time they see your offer. They need to have repeated exposure to it and start to trust you more. Right. And so most of the money in all of this is in the follow-up. And if you can collect an email and follow up with people, you'll end up making a ton more money than just sending traffic straight to your offer. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Makes a ton of sense. Connor, this has been a ton of value. Great hearing your story. And I feel like, you know, we could have episodes just on all those different, the three things that you talked about right there at the end about email lists, but really appreciate you coming on. We'll have to have you on again to do a deeper dive. Where could people find you or find some of your content?
You know what? I just set up ConnorBoylan.com. That's a good resource. So cool. ConnorBoyland. That's how to contact me, how to ask if you want to talk about getting my services, consulting, see me on YouTube, all that stuff. That's a good way to do it.
Perfect. We'll link to that in the description. Connor, thanks again for coming on the show. Really appreciate your time.
Hey, Josh, thanks for having me. And it was a pleasure talking to you.
Hey everyone, Josh checking in. Just one more time, wanted to say thanks a lot for listening to the episode. Hope you got a lot of value out of it. And I wanted to see if you're interested in joining my email list. The link will be in the description of whatever podcast platform you're listening to this episode on, whether it be iTunes or Google Play or whatever. And what I do is I send out 3 emails a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually in the morning. And they're pretty short, usually around 300-400 words. And what I'm doing is sharing some extra thoughts, insights, ideas, struggles, lessons I've learned, because I am running my own service business too, and I love to share my thoughts, opinions, and just want to add some more value right to your inbox every week. So if you're interested, take a look at the sign up link in the podcast description on whatever you're listening this to on, and I hope to see you there, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Take care.